IVM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Sponge Podcast. I'm, as always, with Ambi Parmeshwaran, and we're going to be talking about his book, Sponge, Leadership Lessons I Learned from My Client. Today, we're going to be talking about the sixth chapter, Who Reads Body Copy? Ambi, that was a really, really fascinating story you started off with over here in terms of how, first, though, your travel from Bombay to Pune, that seemed like a nightmare compared to what you have today.
Oh, yeah. Okay. This story goes back to 1980 when I was a rookie account executive in an agency called Rediffusion. So this story is about, you know, body copy is what appears in an ad below the headline and above the baseline and the logo. So most clients tell agencies, why do you want to write all this body copy? Who's going to read this body copy? You know, no one has the time to read the paper, you know. So reduce the body copy, make the headline bigger, make the logo bigger, make the pack size bigger. But, you know, this story is about how a client actually took so much interest in the body copy. So this was 1980, and we got a call from this client, a Pune-based company. And, you know, those days, it was a bit of a fun exercise to go to Pune. So you go to Dadar and take one of these share taxis and then get off and then get on to the client's meeting. And then after the meeting, you call and then the taxi picks you up from the factory and then you come back. So you probably leave at 6 a.m. in the morning, mm-hmm. and you're lucky if you get back home by 10 p.m., right?
Okay.
And sometimes the ghat roads can take you 3 hours, 4 hours just to cross. So it was a bit of a nightmare.
Right.
But that's not the story. The story is about how this company was undergoing a name change, mm-hmm. and they wanted the agency to, look at the new name and create a new logo and a new identity and maybe a new campaign to announce what the company is about. So we had done a lot of homework about the company and what it had done. And on fine day, we trooped all the way to Pune or Pune, it was known then, presented this six ad campaign to the client. In this case, the client was included, even the managing director of the company. So managing director, his head of manufacturing, his head of finance, his head of marketing, everyone was there in the room. They liked the campaign, and the managing director requested, you know, can you leave these six, you know, ad copies with me? Mm-hmm. I want to go through it and I'll come back to you. I didn't know what was in store. I said, yeah, thank you. I mean, I'd be happy to leave these ad copies with you. So I left all the stuff with them, and 7-8 days later, I get a call from their local, you know, this was the days before email, before right. facsimile machines. Those days, the only used to communicate was through physical letters, which mm-hmm. were sent by, you know, people used to carry them, or by telex. Mm-hmm. Right. So in this case, I got a call from their office, the Bombay office, saying, you know, there is an envelope which has come to you from the MD's office. Can you come and pick it up? So I got it picked up and I opened it. I discovered the six ads, the body copy of the six ads have been rewritten by the managing director of the company.
Okay.
So I was a little concerned. So, you know, why is he rewriting copy like this? You know, it's not his job anyway. But when I started reading the copy, I realized this was not just copy. It was probably many hours spent and, you know, putting it together and written with a lot of passion and dedication. So the copy was fantastic. It didn't read like boring industrial ad copy. It was very engaging. Great, you know, nice to read. So let me read out a couple of, you know, a bit of the ads, not the whole thing, because that will take away the whole podcast.
It's a body copy of it's a technical ad, right?
Yeah, so it's like six ads, 800 words each. So you can imagine how much was written. So this one says, how to get hot water at 40 degrees below zero. Thermax does it. That's the name of the company. Siberia means many things to many people. To us at Thermax, it meant design of a containerized boiler suitable for outdoor installation in ambient temperatures of minus 40 degrees. At minus 40 degrees, curious things happen. Birds drop dead in flight. Steel becomes brittle. Rubber disintegrates. and lubricants freeze. And the copy goes on to say how they went and designed these great boilers which are used in Siberia. Or the other one, which is how to help our backward fuels achieve recognition. Thermax does it. Oil has traditionally been the superstar among fuels. Clean, consistent, easy to handle, easy to burn. But like all superstars, it is in great demand. And it commands a price. Coal, by comparison, is an underdog. Awkward, lumpy, inconsistent, but it is available and it is indigenous. Problem? How to make coal a superstar? Answer, the spreader stoker Thermax multi-therm boiler. So the copy was passionately written, right. Beautifully written. So internally in any agency, the copywriters have major control on the copy. They won't allow the client to even touch the copy. In this case, the client had decided to rewrite the copy. And so I had an internal battle to fight.
How contentious was that?
It was, you know, I mean, the creative director, genius, a guy called Kamlesh Pandey.
I worked with him. I don't know.
You might have. Oh, you did. Oh, he's then reinvented himself as a big Hindi.
Yeah, he's a dialogue writer.
Yeah, yes. And he wrote movies like Teza with Chalbaz and all that.
Did.
So
yes, he did.
Kamlesh was extremely upset with me for even making that suggestion. So I had to go to the higher echelons of the agency, right up to RMD, Arun Nanda, and I had to plead with him saying, look, in fact, the client's copy is really good. Hmm. So finally, Arun managed to convince Kamlesh. Kamlesh, with much reluctance, allowed the client's copy to go. Though the headlines, the concept, everything was from the agency. It was not. And to be fair, I think Mr. Aga and the person who wrote the copy was a gentleman called R.D. Aga, Rohinton Aga. And Mr. Aga did not tell me to use the copy. He just sent the copy saying, look, this is what I've written. Take a look. And we could have easily dropped what he had written and gone with what Kamlesh had written, right? So, but we went with Mr. Aga's copy. The campaign established Thermax as a very successful, innovative engineering company. As a tailpiece, the campaign actually won a ton load of awards, including the best industrial campaign, the best corporate campaign, etc. And it turned out very well. The company benefited from all this. The company went public in the year 1994, I think. And unfortunately, Mr. Aga passed away literally a year later.
Oh, wow.
But the company was taken over by his wife, Anu Aga, who ran the company very successfully for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then it's being currently run by his daughter, Mayor Padamji. So this happened very early in my career. This happened in 1980. I was a rookie. I was probably 11 months into the business of advertising.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it left a kind of a deep impression on me that, you know, you may be the managing director of a large company, but if you believe that something is important, then you will roll up your sleeves and, you know, put your shoulder to the wheel and do it.
Right. Yeah. I think what comes across in the story is this, that no matter what the position you are in the company, that if you are a good leader for the company that you're running, you must pay attention to all the details.
Absolutely. And there should be nothing which is below your pay grade. Everything is, you know, is up to you. You need to, of course, you need to make sure that you don't poke your nose into everything that people are doing. But in this case, I think in the company, probably he knew the company best. And he probably also had a BA in English honors from Oxford. So he could probably write very good English. Right. And it turned out win-win-win all around.
Awesome. Know? So is that a lesson that you've seen that you've been able to apply in other aspects or in other areas?
I think that, you know, it happened very early in my career. So it kind of stayed with me for a long, long, long time. So let me tell you another story, which just again happened, probably 6-7 years after the Thermax story happened. So that time I was a brand manager in Boots. And we had a brand called Bernal, and we had made a new film, which was made by the legendary ad filmmaker, Prahlad Kakkar.
Ah, yes, of course.
And he had presented a 20-second edit and a 15-second edit, and I was trying to tell Prahlad Kakkar, look, we can actually do a 10-second edit. You can even edit it down to 10 seconds, maybe. But he said, no, it can't be done. So I don't know what got into me. I said, why don't you give me a chance? Hmm. So he said, what, you'll edit? I said, no, I'll sit with Gokte, who's your editor, and let me give it, you know, let me give it a shot. So he said, okay, be my guest. He had an editing machine in his office at Tardio. He said, come tomorrow. Gokhale is free in the afternoon. Sit with him and try your hand. So those are the days you actually edited with what we call with film, right?
Steinbecks.
Yeah, Steinbecks and Moviola. You know?
Yes,
yes. Actually, Prahlad had a Steinbeck.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I went at 2:30. I was sitting and I was a brand manager. I was not even in the agency. I was a product manager running this this brand. So I sat with Gokhale and we kept trying. I think it took us about 3 hours to get a 10-second edit, which actually worked.
Okay.
And after it was ready, you know, Prahlad had gone somewhere. He came back and he said, Ambi, what's up? It's ready. So interesting, right? The filmmaker asking the client, you know, is the edit ready? So I said, yeah, you know, Prahlad, take a look at this edit. And he said, okay, let's see it. And he saw it and said, it works, man. So we actually, you know, went ahead and did that, you know, ran the 10-second spot on TV and it worked fine. And, you know, there's another instance where almost for 10, maybe longer, probably 12 years with Tata Motors, one of the rituals which you used to have was that we used to present the campaign to the client, Mr. Rajiv Dubey, and at the end of the meeting, he'll say, can I have my A4 size printout? So the ad used to be given an A4 size with the copy sheets attached. And then he'll say, let me go through this. And Ambi, can I talk to you tomorrow evening? I said, okay. And it was a ritual. Every campaign, he will go through the copy word by word. And then after 24 hours, he'll call me and ask me, okay, is this sounding okay? Should we change this? And sometimes it used to take 2 hours. But, you know, I used to do it because I think it was important. And he was the head of the division.
I mean,
he was running the passenger car business division and he used to take the interest. And I could have easily left it to a copywriter to handle. But, you know, I used to do it myself because some cases I may have to push him back saying, no,
right,
this is what we should do because of various reasons. And then, of course, the copy then used to go back to the copywriter. If he has any issues, we'll call back. But the point is that was it my job to actually sit and discuss copy? No. Okay, but the fact, since I saw Mr. Aga do it, you know, at the early stage of my career, I realized that if it is something important, then you will spend hours and hours, you know, doing it, right?
Right. Interesting. Speaking of spending like hours and hours on doing something, right? You mentioned something really interesting from this book Flow, right? This idea. Well, why don't you explain the idea to the listeners, right?
Oh, great. So you know, obviously, you're skipping from pronouncing the author's name.
I am doing my best because I've written it down and... all right, let me try it. Mihai Csikszentmihalyi.
Okay, so this is a book called Flow.
Okay.
Written by Mihai Csikszentmihalyi. That's how you pronounce his name. It's a pretty complicated word.
Yes, it was. I didn't do that badly with it.
Yeah, you did. Okay. So it's a Czech writer and it's Flow is actually a book which a lot of people have used and referred to. And flow is a concept whereby when you are immersed in your job and you enjoy the job you're doing, time flies. Okay? So probably when Mr. Aga was sitting and recrafting the copy of those 6 ads, time must have flown. He must have probably spent 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours without realizing the 3 hours, 4 hours went away. In a sense, when I was sitting and editing the film with, editing the Bernal film with Gokhale, I don't know, I must have spent 3 hours.
Right.
But, you know, at the end of 3 hours, you felt, you know, you just spent 5 minutes doing it. So what Mihai Csikszentmihalyi's theory is that if you enjoy what you're doing, time is immaterial. And you'll get into the state which he calls the flow. And when you get into a flow state, you know, you will keep doing it without realizing the time going by.
Right.
And I think as, you know, greatly as team captains, as people running teams, we need to understand how do we get our teams to get into a flow? How do we get ourselves into get into a state of flow? How do we enjoy doing what we are doing? And how do we make it a part of our DNA that enjoy what you're doing and get into the flow?
Interesting. Very cool. I think that's a good place to end this episode. It was really, really interesting stuff over here. We'll be back next week with another episode where we're going to be talking about setting the right expectations. That's going to be the next one that we talk about.
Thank you.